2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
To you out there on the interwebs, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Joining me, as always, on the podcast, it's Keith Hall. You can find him on Twitter at BoobersDFSDaddy. You can find myself at 14A.Walsh. Keith, you and I had a battle last night between the Bucks and the Cowboys. You did come out on top. Congratulations for that, blah, blah, blah. But, a couple different factors led to that. I guess we can get to it if we want. I know this is the NBA podcast, but I'm a man. I live up to my shit. So congrats on your victory last night.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Like we were talking about before, you guys just came out and you guys looked a little shell-shocked, not ready for prime time. Kudos to you for coming out and actually going back and reworking some things and making the adjustments. I wanted to kill Scott Linehan for trying to get way too cute like he always tries to do. Why Lucky Whitehead is part of your offensive game plan, I have no idea. And why Bryce Butler is not part of your offensive game plan, I have no idea.
He's a stud, man. What
dude,
a catch
why
by
is
him.
He not playing over Terrence Williams? Like, seriously. Like, why is he not playing over Terrence Williams?
I am not in the Dallas meetings, so I do not know this.
But yeah, well,
yeah, I mean, you need to get him in.
Yeah, and we saw that when he filled in for Dez Bryant. It's just, you know, it just makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. And the fact that you're not doing it is just ludicrous. I don't know. It makes sense.
Yeah, my boys really toyed with my emotions last night. Here I am, we got the lead in Dallas, and I'm like, what? Like, jumping out of my mind. If you were in the NFL channel last night, you knew. You knew what was going down. But, yeah, wow, just what a game. And, I was listening to the radios, or I'm sorry, the Buccaneers, or not the Buccaneers, but the Tampa radio show this morning, as I do each morning when I'm walking the dog, kind of to get the feel of, you know, what's going on in my former hometown. But it's weird because you got like a very somber sort of mood that's going on there. Me personally, I'm proud of my guys, the way that they played last night, showing some gumption. This is a really young team. So, yeah, I think that this was an educational game for them. And there is a chance that the Buccaneers could be in the playoffs this year. It just sucks that they don't control their own destiny now. But one thing I've said over and over, third week of January, we could potentially be back there. So I'm looking forward to that very much. All right, this is the NBA show. You did not stumble upon NFL talk here. So only 5 games to get to today, which I'm very excited about. It makes for a lot less writing, a lot less analysis, and a lot less heartache and mind cramps as we usually do on these 11-game slates. I feel like Friday, I possibly could have been a vehicle that broke down on the side of the road overheating. I was just out of my mind that day.
Yeah, it was Friday's always, tough for me.
Yep.
Well, they won't be as tough anymore, but they have been tough for me the first part of the year. For those of you that don't know, the reason why I'm not really that active on Fridays is I pull my civic duty. And I go and serve Catholic children pizza on Fridays. I committed to that before we had a daily show podcast in the morning. If you were with us last year, what we did was on Wednesdays and Fridays, we actually had a live show. It started about 3:30 Central and went to about 5 that had all of our basic daily analysis. And I actually missed the live shows just because it was there was a lot of you know, people could see our face and our expressions and stuff like that, but not as many people could enjoy the pleasure of our sexy voices.
No doubt. So, and the views and everything are like totally different. So whereas in the afternoon we'd have like 50 views, now we're reeling in close to 1,000 each day. So.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's it was just kind of one of those things that, you know, we decided that even though we liked the live show as far as there were a lot of pros to that, the pros far outweighed doing a show every morning and being able to put it out there for people to kind of just enjoy. And that was always something that was good. But I did that. And then, but in order to do that now with the son, I have to take my, I have to take little KD out to my mom's, which lives about 45 minutes north. So I drive out there in the morning, drive back to Tulsa to serve the kids pizza. And then I drive back out there to get him. And then I drive back to drop him off at my mom's or my mother-in-law's. And then I come back home and I this is going to sound really nasty, but I service you guys.
It wasn't going to sound nasty until you threw that out there. Now everyone's thinking, oh, he's so nasty.
And that's one of the things that, I made sure that I was always kind of readily available. Now I do a lot of my research and stuff the same way I normally do, except I don't have my computer. I'm doing it all on the road at the same time. So if you're Oklahoma Highway Patrolman, if you see a 2015 Kia Optima fully loaded zooming up and down Highway 169.
Fully loaded. Had to throw that in there. Very nice. Very nice. What a big 21.
Then
you know what we need to do for you now? I mean, you've basically set the framework for it, but we need to get you a tournament win and buy you a helicopter, because you're kind of playing Superman or Batman of some sort, and it just seems like you need a helicopter for your daily life.
Yeah, that would that'd be nice.
I always think so. I mean, especially me, kind of like when I don't live in the big city as I used to anymore, but when I lived there, I felt like a helicopter would have been an acceptable mode of transportation. Just I don't like subways; they freak me out. So. Now you know a little bit about me too. I don't have a fully loaded Kia, but hey, I like helicopters. All right, 5 What an intro!
We're headed down that slippery slope.
That slope, that one. All right, 5 games to get to tonight. Let's just get right into it. First game on the docket tonight, we've got the Washington Wizards traveling out to Hoosier Country to take on the Indiana Pacers. Pacers, 6-point favorites in this game tonight. Looking for a money line. I don't see it right now, but we got a total of 216 that we opened up at. Dropped all the way down to 11 here.
-213 for the Pacers.
Yeah, I totally pulled up the wrong one. I'm still on this like hyped up mode from the intro. Anywho, a lot of injury news to get to here though, so this could prove to be a valuable source of some low cost players here. We got Kelly Oubre Jr., Yamahimi, Jason Smith. They're all questionable, but there is some thought that they couldn't play tonight. For the Pacers, we've got Monta Ellis and Rodney Stuckey. They are both out already. So that could be a good spot to pick us up some CJ Miles or something of that sort. Where are you looking here first?
Yeah, I'm done with the CJ Miles.
Oh.
Crap. And this is probably where he's going to just end up like giving me the bird.
Boy, I hope so. For my case, not yours.
But, I mean, why CJ Miles when I can go to Glenn Robinson for cheaper?
Okay.
Or for the same price and get more minutes. That's just kind of the way I feel there. I mean, CJ Miles just isn't getting the minutes. And so, yeah, just not doing it. on that one. I want to know why the Pacers are favored. Like, seriously, why are they favored here?
Right. It could be a very telling sign.
Anyways, I play John Wall when he's at home. There are two guys that I play normally when they're at home more than when they're on the road. One is Kemba Walker. The other is John Wall. Why Kemba Walker was 65% owned in cash on Saturday, I have no idea. For some reason, I actually did play on Saturday, and I can't remember the reason why. No, there was some overlay, and I just kind of threw some teams in.
Right.
I threw some teams together.
We talked about this the other day. You're done on pods and articles for your work yesterday. You're done. Yeah, like you take 8 minutes to plan NBA, and you go from here on out. That's what you do.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, Keith. All right, I'm going solo. So. Okay, I'm done. You can do the pod.
It's funny because, like, you know, I played on Saturday and I put one team together and I threw it together and I finished because of the Golden State blowout. Mason Plumlee and Mo Harkless didn't get enough run in the second half for me to squeak into that cash line. Finished with a 295, and I think the cash line was like 310 in my tournament. So, in my quints and stuff like that. It was kind of nice. I did the same thing yesterday because there was some overlay and threw it together in like 8 minutes and ended up taking like, I was like second in my double ups, fourth in my quints, and like I think I finished in 290th or 300th in the shot, and like fourth in the. It was a good $350 day, which softened the blow majorly for my disaster of NFL teams, that I think I just tried to get too cute and put too much thought into. But yeah, I don't play John Wall on the road. I do like Bradley Beal, so I can get my John Wall exposure for $2,900 cheaper.
Yep.
And I mean, Bradley Beal, he's cheaper than Dwayne Wade by $100. I've got him projected pretty close to about the same. But there's some other shooting guards I have a little bit more interest in as well.
Okay. Look, shooting guard is a spot that we have been quite profitable targeting against the Pacers. And, you know, it's crazy. Now, we might not have projections from Scotty today. He's feeling under the weather. But if you do follow, you know, any sort of DVP rankings, you're going to see the Pacers absolutely getting obliterated at that shooting guard position. Number one, that's because Klay Thompson did his 60-point thing against them recently. And number two, shooting guards have just been obliterating the Indiana Pacers. I mean, it might look a little overhyped because of that Klay game, but make no mistake about it. You've had a lot of guys going off against the Pacers at that shooting guard position. So I really like that Bradley Beal play.
Yeah, if you look at the – it's actually kind of funny because if you look at the first look that's put together by Noto on RG, who's one of the better basketball minds out there.
I like his stuff.
He's a very, very good cash game guy and binks a tournament every once in a while. But very consistent, very good, very knowledgeable about the NBA. That's kind of his thing. The DVP that he puts on there is for the positional matchups has Indiana actually ranked 11th. And you've got Detroit, Denver, Minnesota, Washington, Oklahoma City, and Dallas all ahead of them. Well, here's the problem with that is that Indiana does not have Monte Ellis. You could really go – the quality of shooting guard in the East is not very – very good. But Bradley Beal is one of the better shooting guards in the East. So you have to take these DVP rankings with a grain of salt. When they play one of the higher echelon shooting guards, and in the East, Bradley Beal is about as good as they get.
Oh, yeah.
you're looking at a situation where you could have a massive game here. Plus, it gets you a little bit of exposure for a cheaper price at a higher total. Here's the issue. What are we doing
Sure.
with the likes of Martin Gortat, Markieff Morris? Because Washington's not going to throw out Andrew Nicholson for more than 13, 14 minutes. They're Kelly Oubre's got a concussion. These guys are gonna have to play a ton of minutes. They just played the Clippers yesterday. Martin Gortat played 39 minutes. Markieff Morris played 33 minutes. I mean, you're talking about a very, very tight rotation for the Washington Wizards. They're on the back end of a back-to-back. I don't think right now I have any interest in Martin Gortat because I think he's overpriced for his upside in tournaments. I think he's a great cash game play because his floor is literally 20, 22, and his ceiling's probably 35, 38. He's only eclipsed 51 or 40. Really, one, two. He's only eclipsed 40 twice this year. So I don't think I can play him in tournaments, but for cash games, I don't mind him. Especially in a good matchup where we kind of target bigs against the Pacers.
Right.
I think if I had any interest in anybody other than Beal, it might be Markieff because it looks like he's actually starting to play a lot better. He only played 18 minutes coming off of that, what was it, an ankle that he missed the Charlotte game with. He played 18 minutes the next game and then played 33 minutes last game. Keep an eye out to see how he responds if he went through shoot around and stuff like that. They did play yesterday afternoon, so they've got it's not like a true back-to-back,
Right.
but they're really shorthanded, so I don't think that you can get away from, a guy that plays 33 minutes, has a pretty decent matchup, and is only 5,000 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I'm starting to look more into this whole thing of why Indiana's favored. I guess it's because they're on the back end, or because Washington's on the back end of a back to back. I mean, the Pacers play tomorrow night in New York. I could see them kind of overlooking the Wizards here. But I mean, look, time and time again, Vegas has just totally disrespected this Washington team. They do it all the time. Like they give them no love whatsoever.
Now
Them
they're giving
and the
them love and
Miami,
we're
yeah,
second guessing
the
it.
them and the Miami Heat, those are two teams that Vegas just really just hates their guts for whatever reason. So, I could see it. And again, if the Pacers are favored, maybe this is a really good thing for Paul George. I mean, Miles Turner could even be a big play here too, but it is interesting how they are favored by so much. So I'm definitely looking more into this. And I'm tending to lean on that Paul George, Miles Turner, who I just mentioned. This could even be a decent game here for Teague as well, who, Teague, we kind of poo-pooed a lot of these last couple of games with Paul George back because, oh, he only does well when Paul George is back. That's not the case anymore. Jeff Teague is playing really well with this Pacers team in his first season.
Yeah, he is. He it took a little bit of time to get kind of acclimated, and then he's kind of gone away. Now he's I don't want to say he's back, but he's back.
He back, man. He back.
So.
Two back to back 40 of plus fantasy point games for him, and then didn't do that well against Miami, and then against Charlotte at home there he had the 36.5 FanDuel points. So I mean, things are looking up for him last three of the last four games.
Yeah, I can't argue it. I mean, going up against John Wall defense and a total that's over 210. I mean, it's a good play. And if you can't afford to pay up or if you're not comfortable playing up for two point guards today, which I think is a pretty good strategy, then he does offer some upside at a discounted price.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's get to our next game here. We got your Oklahoma City Thunder hosting the ATL Hawks in this OKC 3-point favorites in this one. Money line -150 total has dropped a couple points here. Originally was at 211, now it's at 208.5. 96% of the bets are on the OKC Thunder as of right now in Vegas, which kind of sucks for them. But still, full disclosure, Russell Westbrook will be the cover boy on my article today. That's because he's taking on the Atlanta Hawks, who consistently have been giving up big games to point guards. I don't think there's any possible way that you could fade Russell Westbrook tonight. Every now and again, I'll come up with this crazy idea that it's a good way to go to get away from the field, but there's no getting around it tonight.
Usually I mean, I never, full disclosure, whenever Russell Westbrook's on the slate, I always have at least I have most of my exposure to him. He's just a guy that he's unbelievable, and in my opinion, he is the MVP. And I don't give a, I really honestly don't care what anybody else says, because he's, nobody is doing what he is doing, not even James Harden.
Is that a direct shot at me for what I
Yes,
said on Saturday?
it's 100% a direct shot. But we don't have time to get into that tonight. But yeah, you're gonna play Russell Westbrook, and he's just an auto plug and play, and just kind of go from there. So.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, again, too, the what Vegas is saying here with this line, I kind of want to get into this too because I feel, again, I was talking to a couple of people today, and they're asking me how they get a little better at NBA DFS. Totally here to answer the questions, no doubt about that. But I'm not doing a good enough job of explaining how kind of Vegas works and how they think. Like, in my in my time here, I've developed a lot of things. I used to work for a sports handicapper, so I understand how a lot of this works. But typically, the one thing that I will use to explain time and time again is the too good to be true factor. You're going to see it a lot, and again, this is how Vegas gets a lot of people. Where, I kind of thought. With the Bucks Cowboys game last night, it was kind of like, oh man, that line looks way too good to be true for the Buccaneers to kind of favor, and they pulled the backdoor cover there with 6.5 points. But to me, that was very telling of how that game was going to go. Just how Dallas was favored by 7 points. You're like, no way in hell, that Tampa Bay is not going to cover that. But again, in this game here, you kind of feel like, oh man, Oklahoma is only 3-point favorites. Wow, like that, they're definitely gonna cover that. I don't see that tonight. I think, Atlanta's gonna come out very well. And Atlanta's a team that has just absolutely sucked this year. Like they are on just a terrible losing streak right now. So they could absolutely pop off in this game. And I think the one play that the line is telling me is very indicative in this game. Paul Millsap. We've seen power forwards just absolutely crush the OKC Thunder at times this season. So if this line is what it is, I really like Millsap for this game.
Yeah, I think you're being nice, and that's an understatement. Thank you, Enes Kanter, for not learning how to play defense in the offseason. You are
The
so
big
much.
floppy.
Jesus. He's a joke. I defended him last year, and he's just not done anything that I can defend this year. Like, he'll have a game, but somebody that we're paying that much money to should be playing more than 25 minutes, in my opinion. And it's just kind of one of those things that I just really don't like. So yeah, it's for me, it's Russell Westbrook. I think the combo of Tabo Sefolosha and Andre Roberson are going to kind of cancel each other out. They're both defensive minded. Tabo, this is a sort of quasi revenge game. He's been with Atlanta for a couple years now, but he used to be the shooting guard for the Oklahoma City Thunder. back when they went to the NBA Finals and stuff like that. So, but they're both defensive guys. They kind of cancel each other out. I mean, Steven Adams, maybe. He's three of the last six are over 30 points. He's only 5,200. He's a double-double threat every single time. I think him and Dwight Howard are going to kind of piss at each other a little bit. I'm trying to look and see what Steven Adams did against Atlanta because we've already played him once. He had 12 rebounds, 10 assists. I think that was actually one of the games. I think that might have been the game that he hurt his hand, or the game after he hurt his hand. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember. But so that might have been a reason why the smaller production. But Dwight Howard. I hope people go to the Dwight Howard train because these are times where Steven Adams just kind of goes, "All right, bitch." 14.7 fantasy points the last time these two guys faced, and that was in Atlanta. I don't see it getting much better. I'm not paying 7,900 for Dwight Howard tonight. Paul Millsap is interesting, like you said. He's probably going to get a lot of interest with Enes Kanter. He put up 40 his first game after missing like four or five. And then we've got to look to the shooting prowess of Mr. THJ. Especially if Victor Oladipo's out. It's the Thunder do not guard the 3-point line. It's like the Grand Canyon to them. So it's he's definitely in play today. $4,300 on FanDuel. What is he over there on DraftKings here? Let's see here. He is
On FanDuel or you
4,700.
turn Oh, DK,
Yeah,
gotcha.
on DK. He's 4,700. I don't mind him on DK. I because of the 3-point bonus, I'd much rather have him on FanDuel where he's a little bit cheaper as far as your percentage of salary cap. So,
Sure.
is this a
Yeah.
bounce back for Dennis Schroder?
Oh, man. You know what's crazy? I've kind of went off that whole going with point guards against OKC and even like Washington. I know we were talking about Jeff Teague, but I don't know. It's just something about it that the matchups aren't necessarily correlating to more points. I could see Russ getting Schroeder into a little bit of foul trouble. That could certainly happen. But in terms of a bounce back for his own personal benefit, sure. I mean, again, the Vegas line is kind of pointing towards Atlanta in this game. So, yeah, I guess.
He
I'd
flirted
much
with a
rather see
triple
it.
double the last time. 17.6
Okay.
rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. I don't mind going there in tournaments. I really don't. 6,800 is a little bit higher than I would want to pay when I can get Deron Williams for 63 at a cheaper price tag. I can go get guys like. Oh, they did it. Oh, they didn't. He's just a game time decision. Yeah, when I can go get Deron Williams if JJ Barea is out again, who's now all of a sudden a game time decision out of nowhere. But yeah, if you can't fit in Jeff Teague against Washington or Eric Bledsoe, who we'll get to here in a little bit, I don't mind Dennis Schroder. I'd much
Okay.
rather have
Yeah,
him over Ricky Rubio, but
Oh my God, I'd rather have my grandmother than Ricky Rubio.
6,900 there on DraftKings is, I mean I can pay 6,900 on DraftKings for Schroder. I can go get Jeff Teague at 7 or Eric Bledsoe at 74. I think I would much rather have Eric Bledsoe.
Okay,
So.
well, we're gonna get to him. We're gonna get to him. I like that. This is a great game analysis for that one. Good to have the OKC fan in the house for that. So definitely helped. All right, let's get to our next one here. We got the Detroit Pistons at the Chicago Bulls. Bulls opened up as 4-point favorites, but they have dropped to -2.5. Money line set for -145, and we've got a total of 196, which is the lowest on the slate. Any interest in this tough divisional matchup here of Central foes?
Sure. Is Michael Jordan playing?
Oh, he went old school. I'll take your Isaiah Thomas and raise you an MJ. No, unfortunately, he is in Charlotte.
Is
with
Bill
the
Hornets. Beer playing? Who I've had the pleasure of taking a
he's
picture with.
He's questionable. He's questionable. Really?
Yes, I have. He was in. We used to have the Tulsa Shock, which is a WNBA team here. And
that's right. Right.
He was, I guess, a commentator for the WNBA.
He became a coach, didn't he, in the WNBA?
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was maybe he was a coach at the time.
I know he was a coach. I think he did like really well with one of the teams. I just remember because one of like the radio guys around here was making a huge joke about it. It was probably one of the funniest skits ever, but just Bill Laimbeer coaching women is like the biggest
it's hilarious.
Ridiculous thing of all time. Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things like I was walking through the lobby of one of my wife's hotels. He had checked in and he was walking up and I was like, you're Bill Laimbeer. I was like, are you in town for basketball? And he goes, well, yeah. I was like, hey, can I get a picture real quick? He's like, yeah, make it quick. And so I pulled the little selfie cam on him. So,
nice. I appreciate the celebs that stop for a photo because Super Bowl week when the Broncos and the Seahawks were playing, I ran into Ray Lewis and there was like nobody around where we were. And I said, I'm like, hey man, can I get a picture? Massive entourage with him too of like bodyguards and whatnot. And the son of a bitch denied me. And you know, it's not like he was in a major rush. I'm like, dude, like, you know, I could scream bloody murder out here right now and make you look like an asshole. I didn't do it. I'm the bigger man, not literally in this sense, because Lewis is a massive human being. But he didn't give me the photo. So props to Bill Laimbeer for the photo op.
Yep. So that was pretty cool. One of the funnier things about it was, I had moved the camera on the first one and he's like, all right, come on, let's go. And so I had to like hurry up and like, it was kind of funny. So
I could make the case that Bill Laimbeer might be the worst person to fuck up your photo shot with.
The bad thing was, is I was actually really, really, really kind of scared because, I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to get the picture. And
fade the Laimbeer photo ops. I'm telling you.
No kidding.
Doesn't make him happy. All right. We spent so much time on a Bill Laimbeer photo op, but from this game, it's not looking appealing at all for this game. But where could we go?
I think the question needs to be answered a little bit later when we find out what Stan Van Gundy wants to try to do with this offense.
Okay.
He came out and said that he could be shaking up the rotation a little bit and the starting lineup, and that scares a living pajibas out of me because we kind of really don't know what it is anyways on a nightly basis, and if you throw in the added confusion of not knowing who the hell is going to play. Then,
I called Chop the Mouth of the South today, and he posted some photos on the season long channel on the Slack. Hysterical.
Yeah. So
I had to do that.
I mean, Stanley Johnson, he was all. He was all, yay, I came back up from the D League. Then he played 4 minutes. And then he had that breakout game against Philly where he played 26, which was not sustainable because he had 5 steals in that freaking game. He had more steals than assists. And then he goes back down to, being what he has been all year long. So don't ask questions about Stanley Johnson, because it's not even a possibility. So
I could beat him in
basketball.
Maybe
Tobias Harrison, Andre Drummond. Like Andre Drummond in these pace down games, and he's going up against Robin Lopez, which is a cake matchup for him. But you know, maybe the two centers, maybe Tobias Harris, but Marcus Morris, you get a big double bird for me. Put up 8.1 in 24 minutes on Friday. Eesh. Yeah, I could have absolutely just crushed on Friday if it wasn't for Marcus Morris.
I think that makes both of us, because remember we had a very similar lineup. Yep. And that's funny too, because we hardly even talked on Friday. But yeah, that was funny. We had like a difference of two players, and yeah, Marcus Morris was right in there. But how about this Kentavious Caldwell-Pope fella? I mean, the price has jumped up, but you know, in my opinion, I thought his season was just finished once Reggie Jackson came back. Two straight 30-plus point performances, though, and I gotta say, I mean, in terms of matchups tonight, I kind of like his against Old Man Wade.
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You're entitled to your own opinion.
You're right. And full disclaimer: if I'm offending anybody right now because of the way I'm coming across, seeming like an ass, then that's not the purpose. But I'd rather play Reggie Jackson against Rajon Rondo rather than KCP.
Sure. Sure. I mean,
KCP isn't good. It's just I don't think this is a good spot for him.
When you say it like that, yeah. I mean, look, lowest total on the slate, probably not the, you know, probably not the best place to be looking for anybody. But, I mean, I don't know. It seems like Stella got his groove back, basically, that sort of thing. So I'm going to keep a keen eye on him, do a little blurb on him in the write-up. But yeah, I mean, look, overall, probably not a great spot. The price has come down a little bit on Jimmy Butler. I like him, using him more often than not, but I don't think I'm gonna be able to fit him in today because of Russ. So
yeah, you know. For the Bulls, I have a feeling that Denzel Valentine's gonna be a thing tonight. 19.
Really?
20, yeah, 19 and 22 minutes. He's min price. Oh gosh!
You know why that is? Because Fred Hoiberg hates Mirotic's guts. Recently, he was like late to a shoot around or whatever, so he benched him.
He didn't show up.
No, I thought he was late. Maybe I saw on Twitter late. He was late.
I'm looking right now. Fred Hoiberg praised Mirotic's attitude following Sunday's practice, but would not commit to getting back him in the rotation for Monday's game.
That means he is in the absolute doghouse. He is in the shit. He's in the basement of the doghouse.
Yeah. He came out and said that he wanted to get Denzel Valentine more involved.
Player.
Yeah, no kidding. Following that, Fred Hoiberg said that could get more minutes in the rotation now. Hoiberg has been dancing around his backup wings, and Jerian Grant hasn't really done much. As a backup point guard, Valentine obviously won't have much value if he's still not a lot of consistent minutes. Well, he's gotten 2 minutes overnight, or two games over 19 minutes. If he somehow gets the start because of whatever reason, because the Bulls go small in this matchup, then I would have interest in him. I might have interest in him on DK anyways, because if we're talking a guy at $3,000 getting 20 minutes, then I think I have a lot of interest for him on DK. Not on FanDuel, because I don't think you need to go there, but in order to fit Russell Westbrook in on DraftKings, you're going to have to find some value. And I think this might be one of the places I might be willing to go, because he is a small forward only on DraftKings. So, yeah, I think that might be very interesting.
All right, a couple things here to cap off this game, but interesting to note. So the Bulls opened up as 4-point favorites at the open there last night, dropped down to 2.5. Now, the interesting to note about this is that you got 86% of the bets are on the Bulls. So that line did not drop based on public betting. That's kind of a big key right there. And then again, we got the lowest total of the night. So I don't know, based on everything there, I might take a closer look at Andre Drummond. The Bulls haven't even scored more than 100 points in their last three games. So that's also something to look at. I know Drummond kind of pissed a lot of people off on Saturday, for his, I mean, hell, the whole Pistons team pissed a lot of people off on Saturday, but I think that could be a pretty interesting game for Drummond. I mean, we've seen the Bulls give up massive games against opposing centers, so I'm definitely going to take another look. I'm definitely going to take another look.
Yep.
But again, lowest total of the night. I'm not trying to dive deep into many plays there.
No, there's, like I said, the only thing that I'm interested in is Valentine on DraftKings, and then maybe Drummond or Robin Lopez is my center option. But other than that, even Jimmy Butler, I mean, no, I'm just great basketball game, I think.
I think you're being way too kind.
But
Way too kind. I might catch up on my Netflix queue while that game's going on.
oh no, I was actually really being serious. I think this could be a very, very good basketball game, but
This would be, I hate to go back to him, but this would be a billion beer type of game.
exactly. But I don't think it's going to be a good fantasy game. So.
Good. No. All right. Let's from the lowest total on the slate to the highest. We've got the Phoenix Suns traveling to the land of big ass pine trees in Minnesota, where they take on the Timberwolves. Timberwolves 5.5 point favorites, -230 on the money line, and we've got a total of 215 here. Nothing really sticking out on the betting lines, but I think we're in for a pretty damn good game, and we should stack this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to argue with you on. I mean,
Good.
Eric Bledsoe's too damn cheap on DraftKings. He's $7,400.
You're quite adamant about this play with
Oh my
with Eric Bledsoe
gosh.
here.
I love it.
I've taken
Absolutely.
notice. I've taken notice.
He's 7,400. Like the first two guys I plugged into my lineup on DraftKings were Russell Westbrook and Eric Bledsoe.
I've done the same.
They are currently right now the two point guards I have in my FanDuel lineup. He's only $8,100 on FanDuel, and he gets one of the better matchups of the evening. The Minnesota Timberwolves are just barely a tick worse than the Phoenix Suns are regarding the point guard. And I'm talking like barely a tick. Now, people are going to ask about Rajon, or not Rajon Rondo, Ricky Rubio. And Ricky Rubio is one of those guys that has maybe one or two great games a year. And okay, maybe a month. A year is kind of stretching it, but maybe a month. And his last two games are 32 and 32. So I think he's kind of exhausted the great games for the month of December.
I would have to agree.
So I'm not going to Ricky Rubio. I don't care. He could be now, if he's $3,500, then we'll have to. I was about to say he could be free and I wouldn't, but that would
I think
probably be a
we have to make
misconception.
a banner or a big picture. Everyone, Ricky Rubio, I've got 30 FanDuel point. He's done for the month. Shut him down, everyone.
Yep.
It's not happening. But yeah, I really like the Bledsoe play there. Ricky Rubio, he's Spanish. He's got that matador quality in him, and he's not backing down from it. That's what he does. He sucks on defense. So really like the Bledsoe play there. But we've also got some other plays to get to because again, highest total on the slate. Got to dig more into it. I mean, how about Zach LaVine? I'm
Love Zach LaVine
still
tonight.
Looking for him in the second half of that game on Saturday. I mean, what the hell was that?
Oh
what
my
the
gosh.
Hell was that? Where did he go down the stretch? I had LaVine. I loved the play. I faded Harden because of him, and
I played them both. I ping ponged.
Yeah,
and it was looking.
That's probably what I could have done.
It was looking fantastic. And
I did want some exposure to that Warriors game, so I did go with Kevin Durant, who did not disappoint. But you know,
yeah,
so.
That probably cost me a huge night on Saturday. But hey, you know, when you're on a roll with 8 minutes worth of research and plugging in a lineup and going, you know, you can't really complain if you get shut down by not putting in Kevin Durant. So, anyways,
I think you're fine, Keith. Don't worry, you're good. You're on the right path.
yeah, it becomes tilting. Houston and Chicago, he came out like gangbusters. The minutes for only being 6,400 are just absolutely insane. He's scoring points. He's putting up peripherals. Now, the problem was against Houston, he also had 8 turnovers. That is an outlier. He's probably going to be right around that 3-4 range. You take away those 8 turnovers and just cut them in half, and you're looking at a 33-point game. So that's a little bit more along his average. I don't see that a way where Zach LaVine doesn't get over 35 tonight unless his shot's just not falling. And against the likes of Devin Booker, it's
yeah.
just one of those things. So
I just want to say real quick with LaVine, I mean, his price is at a place that we're not accustomed to. I mean, and obviously, but with his play of late, this is why the price is jumping up on him. But I was kind of shocked because on Saturday, you know, I took notice of that and I said, wow, LaVine's really expensive, you know, matchup, everything kind of going into that. And, you know, 30% owned in most of the contests that I was in. So I was kind of surprised by that. But I mean, obviously, I think the whole NBA DFS community is just the smartest it's ever been this year. Like, you can attribute that to, you know, whatever all the different sites are putting out there. But I don't know. That was just something that kind of caught my eye. I didn't expect 30% ownership out of Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I didn't either. But, you know, that's what you get when you kind of only got, what was it, 7 games? Everybody kind of condenses.
Yeah, sure.
So, but yeah, I don't mind it. I really like it. My two shooting guards right now are Devin Booker and Zach LaVine.
Ooh.
Just because Devin Booker, he looks like his shots kind of come back a little bit. Played 31 minutes or 33 minutes, scored 31 fantasy points. Or 31 real life points against Oklahoma City Thunder. That had a lot to do with the fact that Eric Bledsoe's shot wasn't falling. Brandon Knight was not really doing anything at all. And Devin Booker was handling the point guard duties. He was basically he was the ball. He was a point guard on Saturday against the Thunder. So sure. I don't expect to see that happening again. Although if it only happens half as much time as it did the other night, then I mean, Eric Bledsoe got drilled in the face by Russell Westbrook, so I think that might have had a little bit to do with it. Bledsoe missed a little bit of time, and then he came back, so it wasn't on purpose, even though I think they called a flagrant one on Westbrook, but still, that's not, yeah, it. I'm almost scared to play both of them in the same lineup, but I think that I think that having a nice little ping pong or not having a lot of exposure to this game is a mistake.
Indeed, indeed. Let's talk about the big men. I mean, they're good, not necessarily a great matchup for each player, but I think you could probably, I mean, given the other players that are on the slate and the other advantageous spots, I think you could probably separate from some folks going with, you know, with some people in GPPs here. If, you know, you take a dang or anything like that, I don't know if it's going to be worth it, but coming off Carl Anthony Towns' last game, massive 60 point performance, and that 62.5 to be exact against the Rockets. Could you go back to him in the spot? It's
no,
not the greatest.
I'm not. No? Here's okay. Anytime he's scored over 50, here's what we've got the next day. 11-3.
You got this is advanced shit right here, folks.
Yeah. Here advanced. We go. Okay, 11-3. Okay, we got 55.8 against Denver. On 11-5 against Oklahoma City, 39.2. Okay, I'm not paying $9,400 for 39.2. We go to the next game against Boston. 56.1. Most of these are not on back to backs, by the way. So we can't even use that excuse. 2 days later against New Orleans, another good matchup, 29.7. Let's see here. 11-30 against New York. He put up a set. That was the 47 point game, 18 rebounds, 75.6. The next 3 days later against the same New York Knicks team, 33.1. The next night
that was a funny day. He could not hit a damn shot in that game, the second game against the Knicks.
Yeah. Charlotte,
homecoming
which was the day after the Knicks loss, 50.5 3 days later against San Antonio, which is not a bad matchup when you talk about San Antonio, 35.8. He just put up a 62.5 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Now you get a guy that is not afraid to bang bodies with anybody in Tyson Chandler. Yeah, I'm not paying 94. We will be very, very, very lucky to see Carl Anthony Towns on the cheat sheet today.
And interesting.
Center is not a loaded position. I would rather play Tyson Chandler at $4,000 less than Carl Anthony Towns tonight.
Yeah, and look, full disclosure, I was not going with Carl Anthony Towns. Obviously, with the 62.5, you're probably going to get a lot. How do I phrase this? Probably going to a lot more people heading that way, you know, just because of that. So, yeah, I'm typically going to run the other way on that. One thing I've learned from the great Keith Hall in my time in our friendship. But, you know, it's not – again, with that matchup with Chandler, it's not good, you know. Like, he's going to just be a fucking pain in the ass for him all day. So, yeah, that's certainly not something that I want to deal with. You know, it's crazy. We pretty much, like, completely dismissed the gorgeous Dong. Gorgeous
no,
Dang
we haven't got
nowadays.
We haven't dismissed him because I haven't asked about him yet. Because I was going to ask you.
Okay.
Alex Lynn.
I was just going to say, like, we don't talk about him at all anymore.
That's because he can't keep his hands to himself. He hasn't learned the strip club rules.
By the way, they should let you touch at the strip club. That's another podcast. I mean, you are paying, right? And if it's a 2-drink minimum, by the way, Latavius Murray cost me a friggin' trip there last night. I would have watched that damn game at the strip club, but go on.
Oh, my. Alex Lynn played 14 minutes on Saturday.
What is the deal with his rotation?
That was coming off of missing the previous two games with either a hip or a back. I can't remember which.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's got the hip. Yep.
This is not a good matchup for Gorgeous Dong. There's no way that Marquis Chris plays 30 minutes against Dang tonight, is there?
Not with Len back. I mean, he does have the perimeter factor on his side, but you see it here too. I'm looking at the game log right now. 31 minutes in those games that Len misses, 24 once he comes back. So it's a tough spot to go with. I mean, I love the kid's production, but
I wasn't talking about him as a play. But I'm trying to figure out how much Len is gonna play because of Because that changes if to use this as an example, if Len would have been out, I would have had a lot more interest in Gorgie. But because I think that he is a bad matchup for Marquise Chris, even though Chris has shown that he's a better he's a tougher matchup than what we thought he was or what we gave him credit for. I don't think that as a rookie, he has the ability. I just see a lot of foul trouble here at the power forward position. I think one of these guys is going to have a big game. I'm willing to probably put my money on Gorgeous Dong more than anybody else. Unless we find out that Alex Len's off of his minutes restriction, I'm willing to take the chance on him at a cheaper salary if I need it. But if I can fit Dang in there, then I know that was just a whole big clusterfuck, but
isn't it always?
Yeah. TJ Warren's back. What are we doing with Andrew Wiggins?
I like Wiggins, especially for this matchup.
6,300.
Price is certainly there.
I like a nice little Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins kind of pop off.
I typically don't like that, but against the Suns, I'll try crazy shit. You know, I'll do it.
On a five game slate against the Suns and in the highest total of the night. I mean, it's definitely in play.
Yeah, this game sets up very well for both Levine and Wiggins. So I really like so basically from this game, we can have a nice little triple ping pong of Bledsoe, Levine, and Wiggins in what should be an up-tempo game. And, look, both these teams have really sucked on defense. So, yeah, Chandler could work too.
If you're going to – I like the fact of having four guys going from this game. Basically what we're doing besides, you know, Andre Drummond or Robin Lopez and besides Denzel Valentine as value on DK, we're basically cutting out that Detroit-Chicago game. So we're narrowing it down to a four-game slate. I absolutely love having four guys in there because neither one of these teams play a lot of defense. I think that's a great way to go. And we'll talk about a couple more guys here in this next game, but I'm really, really, really liking how things kind of shape up with those four in my lineup.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. Last game of the night here. We've got and this is an interesting line to me. We're going to break it down, but Dallas Mavericks at the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets, 9-point favorites they opened up as. Dropped slight bit to 8.5. Minus 400 on the money line and over under of 205.5 in this game. This line is crazy because I don't think the Nuggets are that good, but number one here, you get the altitude factor going on here with Dallas. And, you know, typically when you see a game in Denver, you don't see a line this high, but this is really just speaking to me here that they absolutely just hate the Mavericks in this game. I think this could be actually one of the ugliest games of the night in terms of what we're looking at here on the Vegas line. So if it's going to be an ugly game, we should see a lot of rebounds and hello, Jokic.
Here's the funny thing. Their home record, their last two home games, they've scored 127 and 132 points. That was against the Knicks and the Blazers. They absolutely
those are the two. If you're going to score 100, if you're going to average 130 points, those are the two teams you'd probably do it against.
Yeah, they absolutely just blew out the Blazers. The Blazers actually made it respectable in a 14 or a 12 point game there at the end. But they've had a lot of impressive wins at home this season.
I like this Nuggets roster. I think they got a lot of good pieces.
Yeah. I wish that Oklahoma City could steal a couple of those pieces. They lost by two in overtime to the Blazers, the Blazers' first game of the year. They put up 120 against Phoenix. They lost by two to Toronto in overtime. They put up 105 on Utah, 110 on Chicago. I think this might become a new trend that we might have just picked up on. You know how we say we don't play Portland Trailblazers on the road?
Sure.
I think that the Denver Nuggets are only in play on the road as well, or at home as well.
At home.
Or more so in play, because they just absolutely just they go bonkers. They literally go bonkers. I mean, you look at Danilo Gallinari's last, besides against the Knicks, which that game got out of hand in a hurry. His last couple home games, let's see, that's not a good one. Let's go to Wilson Chandler here. There's a couple of these guys that play a lot better at home.
Well, I wanted to ask you too, because you've lived there. I mean, talk about what does that altitude do to somebody who's not privy to that
sucks.
Sort of
every
environment.
Time, like, living there, you get used to it. But when, like, when since I've lived here in Oklahoma, whenever I go up there, like, it hits you, and it hits you hard.
That's so crazy.
Like,
I've never been there, so
just
I'm like
walking
I'm wondering.
Off the plane, it does hit you kind of hard. Did Dallas play yesterday?
Let me look into this.
12-18, they played Sacramento.
It did. That's right. Oh yeah. So there's the line right there.
So you're talking about a back to back going into Denver. That's a very.
This isn't
very,
the Houston Rockets that can deal with anything.
This is a beat up Dallas Mavericks team. I did have some interest in Deron Williams, Harrison Barnes, and Wesley Matthews. Probably not as much anymore. On a 5-game slate with a high total, it's going to be very, very hard to not go there. I would rather – I mean, if you're talking Wilson Chandler or Danilo Gallinari, I'm going to take Gallo at the same price. Because it's – you got to understand, when you fly into DIA, okay, it's basically – it's a 20-minute traffic.
Dallas International – or I'm sorry, Denver International Airport?
Yes. It's a 20-minute traffic, at least for commercial flights. But – for charter buses, is probably a 45-minute drive from Denver International Airport to Denver. So depending on what time they got in, because I can't remember what time that Sacramento and Denver or Dallas played last night yesterday, but
I think it was like a 6 or a 7 sort of thing. Okay. Oh no! I'm sorry. It was early. They actually moved the start time up because the Dallas Cowboys game got moved to the prime time.
Oh, okay, so they probably got in at a reasonably decent time, but it's a 45-minute drive there. It's not going to hold as much credence because they have more than, a couple hours. It's more than a 24-hour, like, swing.
Yeah.
So they're going to be, but they're not, it's not the sexiest.
I got you. That is, by the way, why is it a 45-minute, minute drive? Is it location or
yes.
is it just, not
it
traffic.
Is
all right.
Out in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Sure.
That is
interesting.
It is crazy. And it used to be even longer before they actually like finished with all the turnpike routes. The actual non like I'm not gonna waste my money on turnpikes it's like 1 hour and 10 minutes from there to Denver. And then you got to deal with Denver traffic going into Lodo because the Pepsi Center, Coors Field, and Invesco Field at Mile High are all kind of like they make a big triangle. So depending on where they stay, you're talking about another 20-minute drive just to get into the hotel. So that's why and then you have to deal with the altitude as well. That's why we really, really shy away from teams with 3 and 4 back to backs, back into back to backs with the 3 and 4 going into Denver is because of all of that. Now, there was a guy that actually had a really good question. Why don't we treat Utah the same? You know, it's still high altitude.
Yep.
And stuff like that. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the proximity of the airport to the hotels and arena to downtown Salt Lake is not as much. I mean, it's just every time we go through DIA, me and my wife, it's just exhausting going through that. So
I'm exhausted talking about it.
Yeah. We've like, got listener questions we got to get to though. So,
all right. Now, and you know, it's crazy. And you know, you guys might be sitting there saying, man, why are you talking about travel and all this other stuff? I mean, look, we saw it with our boy Oshkin this year. You know, the differential between, you know, 1-2 points could mean thousands of dollars. So, yeah, in a season long, this probably doesn't mean jack shit in the full course of it. But, you know, on a night-to-night basis with DFS, these kinds of things matter, and they could certainly help you in the future.
Yeah, okay. So as far as plays for the Denver Nuggets I'm kind of scared because Nikola Jokic, he's too cheap. If he right. plays 25 minutes, he's way too damn cheap. Because if he plays 25 minutes, he's going to get you 30 fantasy points.
Not over 6,000 on FanDuel, no. Beyond comprehension.
And he is a putrid. Let's see here. He's a center only on DraftKings. He's 6,400 on DraftKings, which is just that's ridiculous in itself.
You know what's crazy? Hold on, before you go on with Jokic, last 2 games, 20 minutes, 19 minutes, doesn't get over 30 FanDuel points there. You think that's going to drive some folks away? Because I sure as hell hope it does.
I hope it does as well.
Yeah, we've seen centers get busy against the Mavericks.
Although if you look at the quality of power forward on FanDuel, I don't think it will, because you're talking Paul Millsap at the top, and then Jokic, Tobias Harris, Gorgeous Dong, Taj Gibson might not play. Then you've got Kenneth Faried, Marquise Morris, Enes Kanter, Alex Len. Yeah, so I think he's going to be I hate to say it, but I think you got to use him as a block. If you're making multiple lineups, then yeah, you can fade him. But I think you need to have some exposure to him, because he's literally one that in 26 minutes can go for 45.
Sure. And foul trouble, I pray to God and knock on wood and do all that sorts of religious shit. But he can't get into foul trouble tonight against this team. I mean, they suck. he should not be in foul trouble.
Powell and Dorian Finney-Smith should not get Nikola Jokic into foul trouble. But
definitely not.
Like we've seen, he's got stripper hands as well. So what are we doing?
Stop being so handsy, Nikola.
what are we doing with Salim Ezri? He's 3,900. He had his best game against Denver about a week ago. We like to attack bigs against Denver, but playing Salim Ezri is not sexy at all.
I ain't doing shit. I am not doing shit with Salim. You're like, what are we doing with Salim Ezri? Nothing. Not all a damn good. Thing. And especially, too, I mean, again, we go back to the line on this game. It's a terrible spot for Dallas. I will say, though, you mentioned his name just a short while ago, but Dorian Finney-Smith. I mean, if this game is going to get ugly, this is probably a game that we could utilize him. You know, more minutes. I mean, the guy's playing a ton of minutes. He's hella cheap. He's producing. I could definitely go there, and especially for garbage time. This is probably the guy. I'm going out on a limb here, my friends, but probably the guy that's going to win you a tournament tonight. When you take into effect how shitty the Mavericks' outlook is tonight, and this is the last game of the night. You know, Denver's not exactly a defensive doorstop. I mean, they're not great, they're not terrible, but I could make the case that this could be a Dorian Finney tour tonight. I don't think I've ever said that, but this podcast is all about first, Keith.
As far as a point guard issue for the Denver Nuggets, I'm staying away. I don't play Emmanuel Mudiay. I think people might chase that, but I just don't play Emmanuel Mudiay. JJ Barea is shockingly a game time decision. He's questionable. He's wanting to return sometime
Yeah.
throughout this four-game road trip. I'm hoping that he doesn't play tonight because that would make me that would bring Darren Williams into play a little bit more. Jamal Murray, if he's out, then I have some interest in Jameer Nelson as a value option at 4,100 if I need it. I like Jamal Murray, but unfortunately with the return of Will Barton, or not Will Barton, Gary Harris, it's made Jamal Murray non-existent. Gary Harris and Will Barton are both in play. Wilson Chandler and Danilo Gallinari are both in play. Like you said, Dorian Finney-Smith is in play.
I gotta give
props. There's a
lot
of offense on Denver, and we have no idea where it's coming from.
Yeah, I gotta give props to our own Taco for that Dorian Finney. It was a weird, like it was. I believe it was last week.
It was an off the wall night, and he just popped off with it.
Yeah, he said Dorian Finney Smith. I'm like, oh, great. And
yeah,
by the way,
I poo pooed it.
I'm like, yeah, whatever. No, I mean, hey, that's a great call, and you know, especially on a Sunday too, to you know, to come out of left field with that one. But yeah, I mean, look, Dorian Finney-Smith is getting money. I'm calling it right now. He's winning a tournament tonight, yep. And I hope he's winning me a tournament tonight. But again, for everything that shapes up how this game is going to go, just shitty Dallas performance. So we should see extended minutes for the Dallas bench tonight. And, you know, look, the guy's playing a ton of minutes anyway. And I guess that's because Dallas sucks, you know, and they're going to their bench more earlier than not. But, yeah, he can certainly be a valuable asset to us tonight at a very low cost, too. So
yep.
That could work. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but all right. Jusuf Nurkić, right? He's only played 13 minutes combined in the last two games, which is like ridiculously terrible. But if we're going to see a blowout tonight.
No,
oh
we
God,
don't.
I
we don't try to predict blowouts.
You don't. I do. But I mean, again, I'm not
you
using
really,
it in terms.
You really, really think that Denver is 8.5 point favorites?
Yeah.
Well, they are, but do you think they're 8.5 points better? Because I don't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I
do.
Mean, they
I mean,
just,
look,
they
I'm not
just,
one to go against Vegas, though.
Dude,
I can't do it.
They just lost to Dallas.
That's okay.
On the
That's
12th.
Okay.
A week ago, last Monday, we were sitting here with the same exact matchup.
Uh-huh.
And they got blown out by 20 points against Dallas. And now
That's
all of a sudden...
Okay.
Now, all of a sudden, even though, yes, I get it, it's in Denver, they're all of a sudden now almost 10-point favorites in Denver. That's a 30-point swing that Vegas is trying to
yeah.
get out for.
We just spent so much time talking about it, about, you know, they're on the back end of the back-to-back. They're, you know, all that airport travel and whatnot. I mean, that's a tough thing to do.
But Vegas is basically accounting for 30 points.
Yeah.
I just don't
that,
see
and that's
that
and that's what
big
makes
of a
it
difference.
So much more interesting. That's what I mean. That's what's kind of appealing to me is that again, it's that too good to be true factor. And you know, I don't think I've ever. I got to go back to this in a little bit here, but I don't think I've ever seen the Denver Nuggets as this highly favored. And it's typically and it's a thing too where, you know, me
Not
being
since
a Net
they had
fan.
Carmelo.
Yeah, I you know I'm used to well I say all that and the Nuggets have actually been favored in their last four games so screw me.
Ooh,
but
sneaky Vegas. Vegas is sneaky.
I should say they. I mean they haven't been this. I should have said they should. They haven't been this highly favored, but yeah, I mean, this is a huge number, you know? So I'm looking at it like, okay, something's going on here. You know, it's not a, oh man, let's take advantage of it. No, something big is brewing here for the Nuggets tonight. I really think this could be an ugly game. So again, back to Jusuf Nurkić. He's only played 13 minutes the last two games. I got a big feeling some minutes are coming tonight for him.
Let's see here. Does Denver play tomorrow?
No. Yes,
ooh,
they do. They're in LA.
Here's something
they're in LA.
That we forgot to mention. Yes, they
now
are.
Now they got to go to the damn airport. Oh, my God. The whole day is ruined.
Yeah, but that's after they play the game. So who cares?
I'm kidding.
Here's something that we forgot to mention. Denver is on the back end of a back-to-back with a 3-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, that just took all the
air out of this
hot air balloon.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch the line as this moves. But anyways, we got some listener questions to go to.
We
promised that we would get to these on a five-game slate. We ran long with the daily analysis, but I'm not gonna skip over these guys just because they took their time out to ask us questions. And
yeah, hey, by the way, to the listeners, thank you. The numbers are looking great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, this one is from. I'm gonna go in the order I kind of received them.
All right.
This one is from user GBennett21. And he asks me, how do you determine if you pay up or down at a position? Also, I hardly ever see any DFS Army logos in the contest I play. What room should we target for cash and GP player size? The fact that you never see any DFS Army logos in the contest you play, that's probably a good thing.
because in a weird way, yes.
We try to avoid each other. You're probably not playing in the contest that I'm playing in. I've very rarely seen any DFS Army or logos in the contest that I'm playing in. As far as the higher buy-ins, now if you're in like the $5 single entries and stuff like that, then yeah, I'll see DFS Army logos all the time. But
you go see me too, bruh.
As far as like. You know, like 100-man leagues and stuff like that. If you're playing those, then that's probably why. Otherwise, if you're talking about bigger tournaments, it's because it's very, very, very hard to place high in those tournaments. And where we as a collective army have good nights, it's still hard to talk about, you know, winning the shot. Or the slam, you know?
Yeah. Then when you look about it too, and it's funny that you mentioned that. So you always see the names at the top. Like you never look to like the middle of where players are. So yeah, I can see why you wouldn't see a lot of army play. And also there's a ton of people in these tournaments too. So I would not be worried that you're not seeing many army helmets. If you see them at the top, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. But again, as you just said, it's very, very hard to get up there.
Yeah, and as far as the smaller tournaments and stuff like the 100-man leagues, the triple ups and stuff like that, we try to avoid them where we can. So that's probably why. As far as the determining how I pay up or down at a position, since I'm more of a tournament player, take nights like tonight, for instance. Okay. If I try to find out where the chalk is other than Russell Westbrook, because I don't feel like he's one of those guys that's fadeable. I try to find out where the chalk is and then I automatically try to get off. And I do that by, you know, obviously by us talking throughout the day, reading articles. I go to Notorious's Grinddown. He's usually more of a cash game player. So a lot of his elite plays, quote unquote, that he puts out are more chalky. I run Roto Grinders Optimizer. I look at a bunch of stuff on Twitter and I find out not really what the players are, but the general roster construction type is. Human nature is if I spend 12.5 on Westbrook, I need to go find some value because, oh my God, all of a sudden now my average player remaining per salary is decreased a bunch and I need to go get that up. Well, that's great. But if the, you know, popular roster construction of the night is going to be, you know, Russell Westbrook and a value point guard, then the easiest way to get away from the field is to pay up at both point guards, you know?
That, by the way, that clapping in the background is because Scotty got the projections done for that. He's a fucking gamer. He is a gamer.
No kidding.
He is a
you
gamer.
Need to, yeah, you need to send him a congrats because he is – his words, not mine. He feels like shit.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways I do it. The easiest way is like – the easiest position to do it for is center, to be completely honest, because there's only one on FanDuel. So a lot of people in basketball for general roster construction will go to DVP charts. And the most you go to the most popular site as far as information out there, which is RotoGrinders, and you just click on the first look and DVP. And that should give you an idea of who the chalk is going to be tonight. Like tonight, the chalk, I hate to say it, is more than likely going to be the easiest matchup according to RotoGrinders DVP rankings is the Minnesota Timberwolves against Phoenix. So you're thinking Karl-Anthony Towns coming off of a big game, he's going to be highly owned. And he's the highest priced center. So what am I going to do? I'm going to get away from that. I'm going to go attack somewhere else. I'm going to go pay up at a different position. That's in tournaments. Other than that, it's really slate dependent on what, where it goes. If there's no Westbrook, no Harden, no, Boogie, no, Anthony Davis, no LeBron, no Kevin Durant, then, you know, you really can, some of my biggest nights have been going value at point guard, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I don't like to go high low on every position. It seems too basic for me.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? One of my first smack in the face moments to the DFS world, I guess you could say, is when I went to the DFS Players Conference in New York last year, the remarkable shindig that RotoGrinders threw together last year. Who's the guy from Elite? Jeff Hefe?
Jeff El Hefe?
Yeah, he ran the – oh, yeah, he, great. He ran the NBA seminar, and, you know, me, the noob, I say, excuse me, is there a certain position that you should spend more money on than most all the time? He kind of, like, poo-pooed me. You know, I didn't think he, like, big time or anything, but it was a good – it was a great answer. It was just no. You know, you just – you go where the most points are going to be scored. And you know, you're gonna have that time again where you're like, oh man, I need to spend up, you know, so and so money so I could get money at this position. No, it's just who's gonna score the most points in any given night.
Yeah, it's slate dependent.
And you know, yeah, I guess it could be, you know, slate dependent, like you just said. But again, you know, me doing one single lineup per night, it's such a dumb thing to say, but it's gonna make sense when it's over. It's that I'm trying to score the most points, you know. So however that can get done, it's just that's how we gonna do it.
Yeah, it's slate dependent. It really is. Real quick, there's another one. This is from Hidden Stash 2. Who plays the most minutes at power?
By the way, I'm sorry. How many questions in total do we have here?
I don't know, like 10.
Oh, no.
Some of them are really quick. So, right. Like, this one is really quick. How many minutes – who plays the most minutes at power forward for the Thunder? They're actually really kind of split evenly. And
that's
goes
all you.
Based,
all you.
It goes based on, you know, kind of what the flow of the game is. But the two guys that play the most at power forward are Domantas Sabonis and Enes Kanter. But Enes Kanter will also slide over and play the five when they go small and they take Steven Adams out. Joffrey LaVerne comes in, and he'll play some spot minutes at the four with Kanter at the five as well to kind of stretch the floor. But the two main, as far as like FanDuel position designations that you need to look at for the Thunder, are Domantas Sabonis and Enes Kanter. And the only one that's really in play right now, there will be a time where we can play Domantas Sabonis, I promise you. But the only one really in play right now is Enes Kanter, and that is only in good matchups. Because he'll only play, you know, he's only played more than 25 minutes once in the last six games. So,
right. I have to laugh at all the Twitter love that he got the other day for getting to the free throw line. It was remarkable. Like, everybody in the NBA community just burst out into jubilation all at once.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Anyways,
that's funny. By the way, I have no take on that OKC power forward. That is all you, my friend. All you.
Yeah. So, that was that one. Let's see.
Here. We got any Brooklyn Nets questions? I got you guys. I got you.
I don't think we do. This one's gonna be a quick one. I do not know. He goes, this is from AFC Jazz, which I'm assuming.
I like that guy. Very active. Very active.
Yes, he is. He asks a lot of great questions. But specifically, he goes, I don't know if you guys have talked about this before, but I was wondering how you guys approach multiple lineup construction. This is tough because.
This is another all you one.
You only go one lineup. I go right. Anywhere between 2 to 5, unless I think Thursdays I'll go after like the clutch shot or the $4 right. tournaments when they're like there's like 4 or 5 games. I'll go after those, and I haven't got to the point where I'm consistent enough above 5 lineups in NBA to really help you on that. But as far as he goes, for example, do you have the same core in each lineup, or is everyone completely different? I have the same core. When I'm building 3 to 5, like if I go into the 3-entry max tournaments, I have the same core. And my core, I don't put in – let's say I'm making 3. I'll have out of the 9 positions on FanDuel, I'll usually have 4 people in my core. There's at least 3 of them in each one of those lineups. Unless it's like a shorter slate, like tonight, I'll probably make a core of 5 and have 4 of them in each lineup. But none of them are in more than 2 lineups. Okay? So it mixes up the core. And then I'll, as I go through the day, I'll narrow out my player field. And, you know, those are the guys that you get on my sheet. Now, the guys that I have as... green on my sheet every night, those are the guys that are in my core. And there's usually one at each position. Okay. And that's where I kind of mix them in and out. Now, even with Westbrook on a shorter slate in a dream matchup, he's the only guy that I ever go higher than 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5, or, you know, I never go that high up on a guy. Except for Russell Westbrook, because we're not only paying for that, you know, 55.4, but we're paying for the 80 point upside. So, yep. And he's the only guy that does it on a consistent basis. So, and I'll argue with everybody that Harden doesn't do it, and neither does Davis or Boogie or LeBron or Durant or anything like that. You're still playing for the floor with those guys and the upside, but yeah. They don't do it to the consistency that Russell Westbrook does.
So. Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind paying up for safety most of the time. You know, I really don't mind it at all, because it's so rare in this DFS game to have some sort of stability. You might as well, right? I mean, look, in order to go absolutely bonkers on a whole slate on all of your plays, it's going to take some luck. So why not take some safety? You know, I mean, it's a smart idea. And in terms of that multi-entry question, if I were a multi-entry guy, yeah, I'd probably have a set core that I go with, probably like a five guy core, you know, that I have in there as stock, and then build around that. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are nights where I absolutely kind of like, you know, rip what little hair I have left out of my skull and be like, you know, I should set this core and then, you know, build around a couple guys. I absolutely hate the fact that there's a possibility I could lose some money. And that's why I don't do multi-entry. I want every single dollar that I could possibly get. I want every single point that I could possibly get, and I will die trying to get it.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've really kind of caught on to over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I can't believe it took me this long to figure it out, was a lot of the tournaments, like, just to give you an idea. If you play the charge, it's a $65 entry. It's 3 entry max. Okay. If you min cash just one of your lineups, it's $130. So it's double
Boom,
the money.
Shakalaka.
Okay. So if you put in 3 entries and you only cash one, you're minimizing your loss, but you're not breaking even. I would rather break even, you know, because I can, more times than not, I'm going to hit one of my two at min cash. You know,
right.
Now, if I don't, then I lose $130 on the night, whoop-de-doo. But, you know, then, you know, once every 7 to 10 days, I'll hit the next level and I'll profit. So basically, as a tournament player, what you're trying to do is kind of bide your time until you hit. And that's
absolutely.
Throwing in each one of your lineups into something that can, you know, like a quint or a double up or a triple up or something like that, where you can, if you just finish out of the money, then you're minimizing the damage. It goes a long way as well. So.
Yeah, and the reason I'm laughing is because you said something there that was hysterical, where you said, I'd rather, you know, get break even than hit min cash. Be careful what you wish for, because
min cash now is breaking even if you put in 2 entries. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's okay.
I would rather break even than, you know, lose money.
Right. Okay. So, I have to tell this story anyway because it's so funny. Quick one. But I used to be a huge bettor, and I don't anymore. It's I can't do it financially. So I got a real hot take on a real hot tip on a game this year. It was Stanford at UCLA, and I put my money on UCLA. So the spread was a 3-point game. Stanford was favored by 3. So we get down to the final minutes of the game. UCLA's got the ball. They're trying to score to tie the game. So I'm watching the game at a bar with a friend of mine, and I say, man, I absolutely hate pushing on bets. It's like the worst thing in the entire world. I would honestly rather lose my money than push on a bet. And sure enough, UCLA has the ball. Final play of the game. Like, no more time left on the clock after this play happens. Goddamn, Rosen, the quarterback of UCLA, gets sacked, strip sack, fumble, all the way to the house, and I lose my money, and I'm like, fuck! I should not have said that, but that's all. That's the story.
Yeah, it was it's kind of one of those things. A push is a win, in my opinion. Okay, this is from Zeep80. He goes, how can you determine who is in the better matchups? Example, Cephalosha or Bazemore? A lot of it has to come to do with you've got to know what kind of positions they play in the rotations, and that comes down to watching the games. That's why you pay me and Al, is because we do watch a lot of these games, so we do kind of know how they run their rotations.
That's all I do.
And you know, they're the same position. They're a point away or $100 away from each other, but they run. These are two different types of players, and very, very rarely do you see a team have two of the exact same player play the exact same position. And so you've got to kind of determine, is this going to be a slower paced defensive game? Also, really, who is the ball running through? You got to look at usage rate, how they run the rotations, the matchup on the opposite side, who they guard, how they guard it. To give you an idea, both Tabo's, and we talked about this a little bit, Tabo and Kent Bazemore, they're both off the board for me because more than likely they're going to be faced up on Andre Robertson. And Dre is a very, very, very good defender, and we just don't mess with that. He has held guys like James Harden in check. He's held guys like and I talk about in check like 40 fantasy points. I mean, he's done very good jobs on and we've made a lot of money fading guys that are going to get matched up on Dre when they're the chalk. We've made a lot of money doing that this year so far. So that kind of
Porzingis on Thursday.
Yep. So that kind of goes a long way, and that goes to watching the games. That's why you kind of we kind of break down the matchups on the podcast. And it just comes from, you know, repetition and knowing the NBA and how these teams kind of run their rotations and stuff. That's why when we hear things like Stan Van Gundy saying that he's going to throw a loop in what we know already, it kind of sets us on full tilt because, you know, I don't like the change because you throw that in. That means I have to now pay more attention to watching a team that I don't already like to watch in a game that I really don't think is good for fantasy purposes just to see if he's spitting out coach speak or telling the truth. So
that's absolutely kind of and one thing I will say too is that basketball is I mean I hate to poo-poo any sport because you know they're all great in their own way, but basketball is as far from the box score what I'm trying to say, you know what I mean? Like box scores are probably the biggest liar in basketball than any other sport. You know, direct matchups and so many other things go into the sport. If you really want to be good at this sport, you have to watch a lot of basketball and just pay attention. Like if you're watching bad, I mean, and I know it's so tough for everybody with families and, you know, work and whatever the hell is going on. I know it's so tough, but for me, like I just said, you know what? I'm gonna do this. Like this is the big leap that I took in life, and you know, I mean, it's paying off. Like I'm doing really well here with the NBA this season. So, you know, if you really want to be good at NBA, you're gonna have to put the time in. Like this is not, it's not a lazy sport. You really have to do a lot of work with this to get good at it. So, if you don't have that ability, how do you? We have our own question on the pod here from us. But if you don't have it, I mean, I would just honestly, I wouldn't put a lot of money into it, to be quite honest with you, because it does take a ton of work to fully get the NBA DFS game.
Yeah, if you've got cable like ESPN or TNT, and you have the ability to record it somehow, some way, shape, or form, or fashion, do it.
DVR.
Put it on DVR and go back and watch it. If not, then go back and watch the late night versions of them. You know, usually if you've got, I know like Fox Sports or something like that, they've around here, they've got like Dallas, Houston, Oklahoma City, you know, stuff like that. Watch as much basketball. The more basketball you watch, the better feeling you're going to get as far as rotations. And yes, family is huge. I'm a big advocate over family. But to be consistently good, then you have to put in some time. And that's where I started. Before I had League Pass, I just started watching as much basketball as I possibly could. Like free basketball. Like I would watch both TNT games. I'd watch both ESPN games. I'd watch, you know, all the local market games as much as I could, even if it wasn't the Thunder. I would watch them and after a little while you start to learn, and if you've got the ability to take DVRs or to DVR it, sit there, watch a quarter, have a notebook out, watch a quarter, take notes on what you learned about like players and rotations throughout that quarter. Stop it at the end of the quarter, take a couple notes, go on, and then go back and read them. And then you've got your notebook there, so where, okay, the Atlanta Hawks are facing the Oklahoma City Thunder. I live in, you know, Charlotte, so I don't watch a lot of Oklahoma City. I know they have Russell Westbrook, but where can I gain an advantage on other guys, you know, in on the Thunder? You know, and you can go back to your notes, and the more you watch, the better your notes are going to be, the better your lineup construction is going to be, and the better you'll be able to start figuring out these things. Other than that, just trust us, okay? And me and Al don't that sucks, but me and Al, we don't always agree. Yeah.
We're not going to watch your kids, but we'll help you with the hoops.
Yeah, we don't always agree on how things kind of go, but we do.
It's
really,
okay. It's okay.
We do understand exactly how matchups kind of work and stuff like that. So it takes time. Just like there's not as much basketball information out there as there is NFL. So it's not like you don't have to watch the games. It takes time. Watching the games, you can grab an edge. Also, like you said, don't game log watch. So that's another big thing. Okay, we Ram8727 said, what are some tips to help narrow down a solid core? You start with value and build to studs. Value and build or studs and build? Okay, I feel this is two different questions. My first original lineup that I make, before even looking at any of the slates, my placeholder lineup is I put value in every single slot on FanDuel. Like, I want to know what value I'm interested in based on what I know for those teams in every single slot. And I will write down that lineup. That way I can kind of refer back to it. And as I do my research throughout the day, as we talk and we do everything, I will mark it off. I want to know who the value plays are first. And that goes back to reading Noto's grind down, watching NBA DFS Twitter, you know, stuff like that. Who are people talking about? Because as people talk more about the value, their ownership spikes. And that's where I know, okay, is their ownership getting to the point to where I can fade them or to where I can't? But that's how I start. The studs are going to be studs. You don't have to do as much research as far as the matchups on studs. I mean, everybody knows Russell Westbrook crushes. Everybody knows LeBron James. He has his days where he can take over or where he can facilitate. And that might happen in the same damn game Saturday night. You know, so that's how I started. I don't start with studs. I start with value. I want to know where the value is in good matchups for the night. And when I say value, I say anybody under 55,000, 6,000 is what I kind of consider value. So
sure,
that's where I go from there. What about you?
Yeah. Oh man, I don't think it's a solid, concrete way to go. I mean, today, last night, you know, we were talking about it. I saw Russell Westbrook against the Atlanta Hawks, and I said, boom, that's how I started my lineup. So, I mean, look, for me, and again, you just talked about it at great length that, you know, watching is going to help you more than anything in this NBA DFS. But there's just certain things that I see in certain players and matchups and all of the above. I mean, you know, one of the big things, we've been targeting point guards for Atlanta, against Atlanta for how long now? You know, I mean, the fact that we get one of the best NBA players, I know you're going to say the best NBA player, against them tonight at that position, you know, it's just an easy start. But so, yeah, so today was not about value. Today was just getting that main guy in your lineup. Boom, no ends, ifs, or buts about it. Like, he's in there, no doubt about it. But again, the slate is going to dictate how we start that lineup. So, yeah, it's going to be different every day.
Yep. He also asks, what are some tips to help narrow down a solid core?
Right.
The first place I look is, you know, fantasy points against. I want to know last three, last five, last 10. You know, and then I go look at minutes for last three, last five, last 10. I want to know trends, who's playing more minutes, who's not. If you see like an outlier in minutes, like a guy's normally playing 33 and then all of a sudden he's playing 20, he played like 25. I want to know why. Did he get into foul trouble? Was it the back end of a back to back, stuff like that? You know, and then you try to narrow down, okay, these guys are bad against point guards, so here are my options. And like, you know, Minnesota, they're bad against point guards. Well, Phoenix, okay, is there somebody there that can get me to 6, 7, 8x? You know, Eric Bledsoe, he can go for 50, or he can go for 50 tonight. Okay, fine. Yeah. Fantastic. He's part of the option to be in the core. And then I just kind of narrow it down based on price. Like, he's part of my core on DraftKings. He's not part of my core on FanDuel. And it has a lot to do with the fact that he's underpriced on both sites, but he's not as much underpriced on FanDuel as he is on DK. Yep. He also asks, I have a smaller bankroll that allows me to play around $10 to $20 on a nightly basis in NBA. But I was wondering if I could splurge for larger holiday GPPs this coming weekend, or should I just stick to my routine of playing
10%
bankroll with 90% cash and 10% GPP? And this is what I would say is if you're playing 90% cash, 10% GPP, if you're talking about playing like in things like the Santa Slam and stuff like that, take your 10%.
Got to get into the Santa Slam. There's so much narrative for everyone. It's Christmas. You got to do it.
No kidding. Take your 10% bankroll this week. Okay. And for GPPs. So you do your 90 and then you do your GPPs and go find satellites.
Yeah.
And don't play the normal GPPs that you would normally play. Go find satellites that give you the best odds. Now, when you talk about satellites, they're not going to give you like they're not going to pay out 20% of the field as far as tickets. It's going to be more around 10 to 5%. Sometimes it's only the top, you know, one or two that actually get it. But go find your best odds. If in my range, or you know, I can do a lot more, but for you, if you're playing $10 to $20 a night, I would say this week go put 15 in cash and go find a $5 satellite to the Santa Slam where it pays out like I think 4 or 5 and there's like 12 entries into it. Okay, go find those and play that this week and see how many tickets you actually accumulate. If you don't accumulate any, then I would say yes, jump in there, but understand if you don't cash that you're going to have to back off the next week a little bit. Mm. You're going to have to dial it down a little bit just because if you go over your bank, and I'm not the greatest guy, but these are to talk about bankroll because, I mean, I'm a guy that – one night I'll play, you know, $200. The next night I'll play $900. You know, it just kind of depends on, you know, what's out there and what tournaments are out there and stuff like that. So I'm not a good guy as far as consistent bankroll management. That's not my strength and forte, and I know it. But I know that night if I play $900 and I don't do well, that I'm backing off for the next 4 or 5 days to kind of make up for the difference. So know that if you don't hit satellites and you pay up to go into the Santa Slam, whether it be one or two entries, that if you don't hit with one of those two entries, you're backing off a little bit the next day.
I'm so glad that you brought up the satellites because I want to say a week or two ago, I had a lineup that I really liked and I started, I finished it well before lineup lock. I said, where can I go get into trouble here on this? So I started digging for certain contests out there, and I came across some fantastic payouts on Santa Slam tickets. So I spent an extra $17 on satellites, and I ended up with two Santa Slam tickets, and they're $30 this year. So that's a significant cutoff in cost there. So I would say, especially with these satellites, it is all about the opportunity.
And the closer, the closer you get to the actual tournament, the more satellites come out, and the more the better odds of getting those tickets are.
Exactly.
So maybe save up at the beginning of the week and only play like one. Between Monday and Tuesday, and then because getting closer to Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, they're probably going to be a lot of them. Friday's probably going to be your best day. Maybe save some money to actually attack a lot harder on Friday than you would earlier in the week as well.
Yeah, and again too, if you don't get yourself a ticket to the Santa Slam, I'd be in it. It's still a cool, it's a tournament to be in, Yeah, it's fun. It's Christmas basketball. I mean, there's so much narrative that goes into it. I mean, all the different teams that have played over the years, they'll even tell you how excited they were to play on Christmas. I mean, what's better than watching hoops on Christmas with your fam? Yeah, and if you win, goddamn, you're going to be the belle of the ball. So it's just a cool thing to be in. If I could actually win some money in the damn thing one year, it'd be great.
No kidding, right? All right. We've kind of touched on this a little bit, but just to be a little bit more specific, Homer for Life asks, thanks for all your hard work and coverage on NBA. Can you cover the building blocks of creating a tournament lineup on the podcast? I do well in cash, but bomb in tourneys. Well, it's a lot of it's slate dependent, but we've talked about it. We find out where the chalk's going to be. And it goes to roster construction. Finding low-owned players does not mean that you are playing bad plays. There's a misconception out there that says that, the chalk is the chalk because they're the best plays. Well, I firmly and 100% disagree. The chalk's not the chalk because they're the best plays. The chalk's the chalk because I feel like
it's laziness. It's laziness.
Exactly what I was going to say, but I didn't want to insult anybody. The chalk's the chalk because
we just insult everybody.
Because that's where a lot of people have advised you that this is a good play. Okay. So the more somebody advises you, the more the ownership is going to go up. So that's where we get back to roster construction. If somebody is paying up for Russell Westbrook, but then going down to a mid-tier or value option at point guard, automatically, if I pay up for two point guards, my roster construction is going to be different. I can still play good plays at each position. And right. I'm going to get an overall general lower ownership procedure or lower. I just read about Kyle Lowry's dental procedure. Lower ownership across each position that's going to allow me to move up the leaderboard quicker. Okay. Yeah. So I'm still playing good plays at each position. But because I took a different lineup construction route, I'm getting better ownership odds. So that's
kind of what
I say.
That breakdown is worth the monthly subscription alone, my friends. And it's funny too. I told you this the other day that, just even talking to you, I've changed some different things that I've done with how I do lineups. I mean, there's so many things. It's so funny. One just random sentence from a person could change your whole outlook on how you look at all this. And that's what you need in DFS. You have to be different. So if you're a weirdo or anything like that, this is the perfect place for you. You got to do something that everybody else isn't doing. And, you said it perfectly, you don't want to you don't want to do something that's dumb, you know, and be different that way. But there are plenty of different spots. And, you know, me and Keith have talked about this, that, you know, we have given you plenty of examples on how to do this. Honestly, it's just about watching the game and just figuring out things before other people do. You know, we talk about this all the time, about being the first to be on a player when, you know, they might have been on a downswing. You know, like, you don't want to be the last person to figure out that Nikola Jokic has been struggling or whatever, and he could be the great play tonight, whatever the case is. You don't want to be the last. You want to be the first.
Right. I'd rather play a guy a day early than a day late. And, right. You know, this goes back to tilting. If you play a guy and he's highly owned and, you know, he bombs, play him the next day. Capitalize off the recency bias and get the lower ownership and play him the next day. You know, because how many times have you sat there and said to yourself, oh, my God, I played him yesterday and he did shit for me, but he absolutely – you know, I never get him right. Well, the reason you never get him right is because when he shits for you, you don't play him the next day. So, all right, last question here. And this is a longer pod, but I think that on a day like today where we've had a month basically of solid 6-7 games at least every single day, I think this is a good day to kind of get a lot of this out. Last question is –
we got to talk to Silver about that. He's kind of – killing my lifestyle right now, but
Voodoo Man 02 asks, could you briefly explain how to get started playing NBA in the 25 cent to $1 range GPPs for newbies such as myself? I would say do the $1 three entry max, okay, and that way you can concentrate not on building a lot of lineups and not building on just one, where you can concentrate on building up three and go from there. I wouldn't play the quarter arcade because, I think the quarter arcade is a great place to start to learn to mega multi-entry or mass multi-entry. I would do the three entry max to start. And that's where I would start with one. That way you're only going with $3 and you're learning NBA with multiple lineups and, how to play multiple lineups. And you also aren't playing guys with 40 and 50 and 150 lineups. So that's my advice.
Yeah, and me, I'm gonna. It's a damn well to me, but the single entries. You know, you get an actual true idea of how people are thinking because you get people's best efforts. And you know, when you do that multi-entry crap, you know, you get some skewed ownership percentages and whatnot. Single entry gives you a real idea of, you know, people's initial thoughts and how things are going. So that is my opinion. Now, single entry, not the greatest payouts, but if you do well in them over time, they're going to prove to be beneficial for you.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, that does it for us today. I think this was our best podcast by far, like by a mile. Not only did you get game knowledge for tonight's slate, but you also got a ton of nuggets there at the end. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell them all. DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast gets you 20% off if you're not a member here. If you're not a member here, I don't know what the hell you've been doing with the rest of your life, but this is where it's at, my friends. This is the place to be. Also, you're going to find articles from me and Keith today. So I know for me, we went really long with this pod, so I probably won't have mine out until 2 hours right before tip. And Keith usually right around there in the same time frame. But also follow us on Twitter. I'm at 14a.walsh. Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. That's going to do it for this Monday. Only 5 games, so that's cool. But definitely, let's win all the monies tonight, my friends.
Yep, there will be well, you've probably already know this. If you hit this by now, there's going to be a timestamp in the game note or in the show notes. That way you can kind of split this up into two if you need to. And you can come back to the actual strategy and stuff and all the questions at a later time. So
nice.
Sound good?
All right. Indeed. All right. check us out, dfsarmy.com. We're out. Peace.
Peace.